ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, text number 10. Athaya jata yagnesham Kratu bhir bhuri dakshine Davya kriya devatanam Karma karma phala pradam Athaya jata yagnesham Kratu bhir bhuri dakshine Dravya kriya devatanam Karma karma phala pradam Athaya jata yagnesham Kratu bhir bhuri dakshine Dravya kriya devatanam Karma karma phala pradam So word for word, atha, thereafter. Ajyata, he worshipped. Yagna Isham, the master of sacrifices. Kratubihi, by sacrificial ceremonies. Bhuri, great. Dakshine, by charities. Dravya Kriya Devatanam, of sacrifices including various paraphernalia. Activities and demigods. Karma, the objective. Karma phala, the result of activities. Pradam, who awards. Translation. As long as he remained at home, Dhruv Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3.9, it is said, Yajnathart karmano nanyatra loko yam karmana karma bandhana. One should act or work only in order to please the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. According to the four divisions of Varna and Ashrama, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are especially advised to perform great ceremonial sacrifices and to distribute their accumulated money very liberally. Dhruv Maharaj, as a king and ideal Kshatriya, performed many such sacrifices and giving very liberally in charity. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are supposed to earn their money and accumulate great riches. Sometimes they do it by acting sinfully. Kshatriyas are meant to rule over a country. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in the course of ruling, had to fight and kill many yakshas. Such action is necessary for Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya should not be a coward, and he should not be non-violent. To rule over the country, he has to act violently. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are therefore especially advised to give in charity at least 50% of their accumulated wealth. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that even though one enters the renounced order of life, he still cannot give up the performance of yajna, dana, and tapasya. They are never to be given up. Tapasya is meant for the renounced order of life. those who are retired from worldly activities should perform tapasya, penances, and austerities. Those who are in the material world, the kshatriyas and the vaishyas, must give charity. Brahmacharis in the beginning of their lives should perform different kinds of yajnas. Dhruva Maharaj, as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. A king is not meant to simply realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with taxes accumulated from the citizens. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. At the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone is busy trying to keep his post or trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens, whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices, as enjoined in the Vedic literature. At the present moment, however, almost all forms of sacrifice are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that people should perform Sankirtan Yajna, and any householder, regardless of his position, can perform this Sankirtan Yajna without expenditure. All the family members can sit down together and simply clap their hands and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Somehow or other, everyone can manage to perform such a yajna and distribute prasada to the people in general. This is quite sufficient for this age of Kali. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra at every moment, as much as possible, both inside and outside of the temples, and as far as possible, distribute prasad. This process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators and those who are producing the country's wealth. Simply by liberal distribution of prasad and sankirtan, the whole world can become peaceful and prosperous. Generally, in all the material sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, there are offerings to the demigods. This demigod worship is especially meant for less intelligent men. Actually, the result of such sacrifices goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yagatapsam. He is actually the enjoyer of all sacrifices. His name, therefore, is Yajna Purusha. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee and had nothing to do with these sacrifices, to set an example to his people, he performed many sacrifices and gave all his wealth in charity. For as long as he lived as a householder, he never spent a farthing for his sense gratification. In this verse, the word karma phala pradhan is very significant. The Lord awards everyone different kinds of karma as the individual living entities desire. He is a super soul present within the heart of everyone, and he is so kind and liberal that he gives everyone full facilities to perform whatever acts one wants. Then the result of the action is also enjoyed by the living entity. If anyone wants to enjoy or lord it over the material nature, the Lord gives him full facilities. But he becomes entangled in the resultant action. Similarly, if anyone wants to engage himself fully in devotional service, the Lord gives him full facilities, and the devotee enjoys the results. The Lord is therefore known as Karma Phala Prada. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna. So I'll just read the translation once again. It says, as long as he remained at home, Dhruv Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions. So in this verse in translation by Srila Prabhupada, Dhruv Maharaj is being glorified for being not just a perfect king and not just for being a perfect Kshatriya, but also for being a perfect Vaishnava. And the reason he is able to become a perfect king and a perfect Kshatriya is because of the fact that he is a pure devotee of the Lord. He is a pure Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada also talks about in this purport about how when the Varnashram system is in place, then everybody is performing their prescribed duties, then all goes well. All the Varnas and Ashramas, they cooperate with each other and they help each other. So the whole society benefits. There is peace and prosperity and everybody benefits from that. But then also Prabhupada mentions what happens when the Varnashram system becomes degraded, when the people become corrupt, and how the kings, they themselves start exploiting the masses. And then Srila Prabhupada also mentions how to fix this situation. He says, just only the holy names of the Lord and prasadam distribution, if we only do that simply, that will help to uplift the consciousness of the masses. So, many, many thousands of years ago, during the time of Satyuga, there used to be only one Varna. These days, we are familiar with the Devi Varnashram system. We all know there are four Varnas and four Ashrams. So, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And then also Brahmacharis, Brahmacharis, Grihastha, Vanprastha, and Sannyas. But during the time of Satyuga, there only used to be one social order, which is the Hamsa. And these people were so great that they were naturally inclined to serving the Lord. They had, from birth, they had this natural inclination to engage in devotional service to the Lord. They had no other business. These people were completely free of sin. And because they were completely devoid of any secondary nature or any other tendencies, then there was no need of the ashrams and the varnas. They were pure devotees of the Lord. So then, at that time, Lord Krishna is actually telling this to Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, during the Satyuga then, manifests the four principles of religion also. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness. As is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 1, Tapa Sochyam Daya Satyam Iti Pada Krite Krita. In the age of Satyuga, your four legs established four principles of religion. So during the time of Satyuga, austerity, which is tapasya, was manifest in full, was completely purely performed. Then cleanliness, then mercy, daya, and truthfulness, satya. So these four principles of religion were being followed in full by all classes of men. And then, after that, in the Treta Yuga, then from the heart of the Lord was born knowledge. So the Rig Veda, Sam Veda, and Yajur Veda manifested in the form of threefold sacrifices. Excuse me. And also in the Treta Yuga, also the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras manifested. So the Brahmanas appeared from the face of the Lord, the Kshatriyas appeared from the arms of the Lord, the Vaishyas appeared from the thighs of the Lord, and the Shudras appeared from the legs of the Lord. So you see how when there was only pure devotion in the world, there was no need of these Varnas. But when Treta Yuga came, then slowly and slowly, as the consciousness becomes covered, then the four Varnas appeared. So in this way, the four Varnas appeared, and also then the Brahmacharis, they appeared from the heart of the Lord. The Grihasthas, they appeared from the thighs of the Lord. The Vanprasthas, they appeared from the chest of the Lord. And the Sannyasis, they appeared from the head of the Lord. So in this way, in the Treta Yuga, the four Varnas and four Ashrams manifested. So Varnashram Dharma is actually Sanatan Dharma or eternal religion. So it is the basis of how one has to live one's life. That is what it tells us. So then in this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that because Brahmins and Sannyasis, they manifested from the head of the Lord, therefore they were considered the most qualified, the most learned. And because Shudras and Grihasthas manifested from the legs or the loins of the Lord, they were considered the lowest in position. But then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains that as long as we are in this material body, we have material features, or we have manifested some qualities. For example, each individual is born with some amount of beauty, some amount of strength, intelligence, and some social opportunity. But these are all externals. They are all external qualifications. But since in this material world, we are all covered over with the external energy of the Lord, then we must follow Varnashram Dharma. Till the time we are covered over with the three modes of material nature and we are identifying with the externals, then Varnashrama Dharma is absolutely necessary. Till one reaches the stage of Jivan Mukta or liberation. So for those devotees, like for example, Srila Haridas Thakur could chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. He doesn't need to be bound into the Varnashram system because he has transcended the modes of material nature. Therefore, he doesn't need to follow the Varnashram. So, the Varnashram system that Srila Prabhupada talks about is the Devi Varnashram system. Devi Varnashram system by definition means that Varnashram system which is performed, the prescribed duties of which are performed with the purpose of attaining the goal of life, which is Krishna or Vishnu. And it is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atha Pumbi Dvijashreshtha Varnashrama Vibhagascha Swanutistasya Dharmasya Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam. So Hari Toshanam means for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So all the prescribed duties that a man performs due to his four social or spiritual orders that he's fixed in is ultimately to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know, everything has its origin in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is a source of whatever we see in this material world. But in this material world, what we see is a perverted reflection. It's a covered reflection. So in the spiritual world, there are pure devotees of the Lord. They have a natural affection towards Krishna. Their mood and consciousness is always how to please Krishna, how to do some service for him. Now this natural inclination in them is, each one of them has a rasa, or it is based on some mellow. For example, the Gopa friends of Lord Krishna, they behave in a particular manner. For example, they play with him, they wrestle with him, they will share food from each other's plate, Yeah. So in this way, they are not. So for example, if they were supposed to fall at Krishna's feet and say, "Oh Krishna, we are your servants. Please tell us how to serve you." That will probably not enhance that rasa that they have with Krishna. So the Gopa boys are expected to behave in a manner that will increase their rasa. And they are in the Sakya Bhav, friendly. Friendly means there is informal behavior between the friends. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, she cooks for Krishna, she feeds Krishna, she likes to decorate Krishna, and she's concerned about Krishna. But if she was to say, "Oh, I'm going to wrestle with you, Krishna," so that's unlike a motherly rasa, you know, it will be more, it's not appropriate, it won't enhance their the mellow between them, the rasa between them. So that means everything that is being done in the spiritual world, it is based on a rasa. So rasa is a source of activity. Any action that the devotees in the spiritual world are performing, they are doing based on their relationship with the Lord, and they are doing it to enhance that relationship, not to play it down or to minimize it. Because to do the opposite is called rasa bhas, is called the contradicting the rasa. So this is how in the spiritual world everybody is trying to expand or increase the rasa. And why are they doing it? The ultimate goal is to please Krishna. That is why they are doing the activities that they are performing. But then we also know that the Supreme Lord is he's fully satisfied. He is the source of everything. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. But then to increase that happiness, he expands himself into various energies. Like for example, Radharani is the internal energy of the Lord. She is the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, the exchange and interaction of the energies is meant to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So then in this way, we see that in the spiritual realm, there is the Vrindavan. It has all the five rasas in full. And then there is Mathura, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Vaikuntha. But as we go down from Vrindavan to Mathura, Dwarka, the rasa sort of, a few rasas slowly become prominent, and the other ones are becoming a little less. For example, the Madhurya ras slowly goes down as we go from Vrindavan to Mathura to Dwarka, and the rules manifest, the rules and regulations. For example, in Vaikuntha, there are more rules and regulations, and the Lord is served in awe and reverence. So even though Lakshmi Devi is present, but even she is serving the Lord as a servant. She's massaging his feet. And in Vaikuntha, the Lord does not have parents. He is present as the Lord, and Lakshmi Devi is as his consort, and there are devotees who are serving him as his servants. So then slowly and slowly, as from the spiritual topmost planet in the spiritual realm, slowly and slowly we come down, then the rasas have become a little bit less. Then come the Purusha avatars, the Karno Dakshaya Vishnu, the Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu, the Shiro Dakshaya Vishnu. Then they are the creators. They create and maintain and destroy the universes. And then ultimately the material world. So in the material world, the rasa has actually completely become reversed. Because this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, then here the rasa is not in pleasing Krishna. The rasa that the jiva finds in is pleasing themselves. What is in it for me? How can I be satisfied? So things have become completely turned around. But the culture is the same in the sense that even here we have relationships. Like there is father and mother, and there are children, and there is husband and wife. But the spontaneous love that we have for Krishna has become missing in this material world. So then how to turn it around and make it Krishna-centered rather than self-centered? So then this is where the Devi Varnashram system comes into place, which means basically restrictions. What are the restrictions for? So this is one word, restrictions or rules and regulations. They're not very much appreciated in the modern day world. But what people like to hear is freedom, independence. You know, do what you want. So that is the main problem that Srila Prabhupada says has caused the downfall of the Devi Varnashram system, where people want to concoct their own rules and not follow the scriptures. And independence has become like the main goal of life. So while that is happening, but then what we need to understand that restriction actually enhances exchange. For example, in between husband and wife, if the husband is loyal to the wife and the wife is serving the husband, and they're both committed to each other, then there is a depth and gravity to the relationship. There is faith. You know that you can fall back on. You know you have someone to fall back on. But if the husband is going out with someone else and the wife is going out, then where is the depth and gravity in that relationship? And where is the rasa? You see? So in this way, the restrictions, the more the restriction, the more will be interaction in a relationship. The more the restriction, the more will be the emotional exchange in a relationship. But the lesser the restrictions, the more the independence, then it just becomes minimized. The emotional exchange becomes minimized. Similarly, in the, like Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that the kings, the kshatriyas, the kings, they were like rajarishis. They were following the scriptures perfectly. They would submissively abide by the instructions given by the brahminical class of men. And they would not concoct their own method of administration in the kingdom. But when that deteriorates, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, then there is mass exploitation of people, which is what is taking place these days. The very people, the very leaders and kings who are expected to look after the general masses of the people are exploiting the people. And the people are helpless because where do they go to? So there is large-scale insecurity in general masses of the people. So this is why the importance of Devi Varnashram system has been emphasized by Srila Prabhupada so many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Devi Varnashram system is actually made of three different aspects. One is the Bhagavat Marg, the Bhagavat Dharma, which consists of direct devotion service to the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, and remembrance of the Lord. But this is possible only by those who are at a Brahmabhuta platform. Those who can completely surrender, like Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me. And yes, completely surrendered. So you are fully engaged in Shravanam, Kirtanam, and direct service to the Lord. And then, but if an individual is not yet at that stage of fully following the Bhagavat Marg, then comes the the Pancharatrika, the Pancharatri Vidhi, which is the rules and regulations. So this Vidhi is in place so that although we are not able to surrender, but we are following the rules and regulations so that one day we will be able to surrender. So we are trying, we are following the rules and regulations given in the scriptures so that one day we are able to form the Bhagavat Marg. We can become perfectly situated in devotional life to Krishna. So in the Pancharatriki Marg, we follow the rules that are given. Say we get up early in the morning, we bathe and we pay our obeisances to the Guru, and we make a bed, we clean, and then we come to the temple for Mangala Arati, and we deity worship and Tulasi Puja. So these kind of things, they help us to become, so this is perfectly Brahminical class. You're going for book distribution, prasadam distribution, offering bhoga to the Lord. So these are called the worshipping of the Lord as given in the Pancharatrika Marg, the Pancharatrika Vidhi. So these are purely Brahminical, this is a purely Brahminical kind of life. And Brahminical, but not material Brahminical. The goal of living, of following these rules and regulations is to attain Krishna, to attain perfection in a devotional life. So then, after the Bhagavat Marg and then the Pancharatrika Marg is the Varnashram, comes the Ashram. So the Ashrams are then there because not everyone can follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi 24 hours also. So there are other engagements that we want to get involved in. There are the mind has other interests different from then following the rules and regulations for the Lord. So then the varnas and ashrams are in place to allow us to engage in those activities, but in a regulated way. So that even though we are engaged in those activities, they are still supporting us in a devotional life. So the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Shudras, when they manifest, when people act according to these different classes, then it is actually mode of passion and mode of ignorance. These manifest. And when we are in the Varnashram system, we are aware of good and bad. You know, people act because if they do something good will happen. If they do something bad will happen. So at least it may be out of fear, but there are activities taking place, pious activities taking place, because they understand that there is going to be a resulting reaction. So, but then Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that to just follow the Varnashram system, it's a long path. So a Shudra will slowly and slowly gradually elevate to come to a Vaishya, and then a Vaishya will become Kshatriya, and Kshatriya will become a Brahmana, and then so forth like that. But Lord Krishna says, follow the direct path. And how can we follow the direct path? To follow the direct path, then, this Devi Varnashram system, which comprises of the Bhagavat Mark and the Pancharatrika Mark, and along with following the prescribed duties of the Varnashram, of the different Varnas and Ashrams. So, just like Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee is cooking for, a devotee is cooking and a non-devotee is cooking. A devotee is eating and a non-devotee is eating. So what is the difference? So for a devotee, the difference is that when he goes shopping and when he cooks, he first offers it to Krishna. Whatever a devotee does, he does it as an offering to the Supreme Lord. That is what makes everything very different. That is where things can turn around. Because that Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever sacrifices you perform, you do them as an offering to me. You see? And when we do them as an offering to the Lord, all our activities, they cannot bind us in this material world. Otherwise, the activities that we perform, they have the tendency to bind us and give us reactions. So we also see that when Srila Prabhupada first started, when he went to the West and when he wanted to preach in the West, he did not introduce the Varnashram system, because he saw that the people he was preaching to, they were not in their senses. They were covered over. They were taking drugs and a lot of other things, that they were intoxicated. So in that intoxicated condition, it was hard for them to follow rules and regulations. So the first thing he introduced was chanting the holy names. So what we need to understand is that chanting of the holy names of the Lord is so potent that it can immediately transform or change the consciousness of an individual. So Srila Prabhupada would go and chant in the Tompkins Square Park. And all these thousands and thousands of hippies, of people who were counterculture, followers of the counterculture, who had rebelled against the normal norms of the society at that time in the US, they started following him, they started chanting and dancing. And Srila Prabhupada, because of his purity, was so attractive to them that they would just follow him. And they would just very meekly and humbly follow his instructions. So you see, Srila Prabhupada actually brought them to a stage where they were to a basic level of civility, where they understood that cleanliness was important, that having a regulated life was important, that they were supposed to give up all sorts of intoxication, all sorts of meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. So when they came to this stage, only after that did he introduce deity worship. Prior to that, he was just chanting the holy names of Lord and giving them prasadam. He would do Sunday feast programs, and in those programs he would encourage everybody to come. So a lot of them used to be sometimes so intoxicated, they were not even in their senses, they didn't even know where they were. But somehow they felt so attracted to Srila Prabhupada that they just came. They just came, and slowly and slowly they became so purified that they became pure devotees. So such is the potency of the holy name that it can purify even the most fallen, even the most degraded. But then the question comes that if Bhagavad Marg can be taken up and if it is so so potent, then why not just do that? The problem is that it is so simple that our mind cannot take it up. Our minds are so complicated that they want some complicated rules and regulations to fix it. It's not possible to fix our mind with something so simple as just sitting and chanting. It's so easy. You just pick up your japmala and just sit and chant the holy names of the Lord day and night, and that's perfect. That's perfection of life. But how many of us can do that? It's the age that we have taken birth in, Kali Yuga. It's so complicated. The minds are so complicated that we cannot take to Bhagavad Marg. That's why the Pancharatrika Vidhi has been advised. And because Pancharatrika Vidhi also is very hard, following rules and regulation is also not easy because the mind rebels. Who wants to get up for Mangalarti every day? You know, who wants to take bath 3 times a day? Who wants to go book distribution? Who wants to preach? We just want to live in our own comfort zones, very comfortably in our lives, okay? Chant a few rounds and just eat prasadam and then associate with devotees and that's it, okay? Sit in our own comfort zones. But to push ourselves out of that comfort zone and to really do what will really please Krishna is what is going to help us progress in the spiritual life. So even Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Maharaj in Brahma Samhita, he mentions that the Daivi Varnashrama system, it is not direct devotional service to the Lord. It is a system that has been designed to support direct devotional service to the Lord. Because we are not capable enough to take up direct devotional services, then there are so many activities, like Srila Prabhupada also says, that because all of you cannot chant 24 hours, so then I have created so many projects for you so that you can become engaged positively. Because who do we serve? If we don't serve Krishna, then we are serving Maya. So to prevent that, then Srila Prabhupada has created so many projects, opened so many temples, created so many activities like prasadam distribution, book distribution, so many cleaning services, deity worship, offering bhoga to the Lord 7 times a day. So these are all meant to purify us so that we can ultimately reach the goal, which is to attain Krishna, to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And then Srila Prabhupada also mentions here, he says, karma phala prada, which means that the living entity has to only desire. The only ability that we have is to desire. We have no other ability. Even to do devotional service, the ability comes to us from Krishna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada mentions that if an individual wants to enjoy, lord it over the material nature, engage in sense gratification, then Krishna will make that facility. Krishna will give us that facility to do that. But if an individual has a desire to engage in devotional service, then Krishna will definitely fulfill that desire as well. So it all depends on what we desire. Then our desires manifest in the form of facilities that will help us fulfilling our desires. That's why Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is also called karma phala prada, the giver of our activity, the results of our actions, the resultant actions we have to suffer according to whether we choose to serve Krishna or we choose to lord it over the material nature. And then Srila Prabhupada also mentions how it is the Daivi Varnashrama system, when it becomes, when it doesn't remain Daivi Varnashrama system, then it becomes Asuric Varnashrama system, which is, as you see, in India, it is the degraded, it is the notorious caste system. You see, people, they don't understand that this is not how it was meant to be. The Lord says, guna karma vibhagascha. According to your guna, according to your karma, then you take up an activity. But unfortunately, when the Brahmin class became polluted, they became greedy, then everything, the whole system of Varnashrama collapsed and it turned into an Asuric Varnashrama system. In a Daivi Varnashrama system, a Brahmin would only take what he needs for his basic necessities of life. He would not take more. In those days, the kings were very generous, like it is mentioned here. Dhruva Maharaj literally emptied his entire treasury, everything that he had, and he gave it in charity. So what would the Brahmins do then? A single Brahmin cannot have 1,000 cows, cannot maintain 2,000 cows. The Brahmins then used to further give charity to others, to other qualified people. A Brahmin can maintain 4 cows, 5 cows, and the rest they used to give. Because they were eventually living away from the cities. They were living in the forests. You know, it's a place of mode of goodness where it is easier to meditate on the Lord. It is easier to read scriptures because there is no disturbance. And they were occasionally visited by the kings who would come to them for advice. Or they would occasionally visit the kingdoms and give advice to the kings. So that was the perfection of the Brahminical class, that patan patan. Yajana Yajan means you read the scriptures and you teach the scriptures to others. You do yajna for the personality of Godhead on your behalf, on behalf of others. So they used to engage others in spiritual activities, you see. And that's how the perfection of the Daivi Varnashram system flowed from the Brahmanas. They are the heads of the society. But when they became corrupted, then the whole system became corrupted. When they became greedy, when they wanted more for themselves, then the Kshatriya class also became greedy. They also started keeping or extracting taxes, like as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, for themselves, for their sense gratification. So this is the degraded version. It was never meant to be like this. And how in India these days, even in newspapers, you read a lot how the caste system is actually criticized. Because the form that it has taken today is that a Brahmana's son will be Brahmana, even if he's engaging in activities which are not conducive for a Brahminical life, even if they are not interested in reading scriptures, they are not interested in doing yajnas, they're still called a Brahmin. So they still want to hold to their caste. So that's why the caste system, it became notorious. That's why it is looked down upon in India today. Everybody says, the caste system is actually meant, because that's what it has come down. It is exploiting the people now. In the name of religion, the caste system is actually exploiting the people. It does not allow for a peaceful living among the masses. But if the 4 Varnas, Srila Prabhupada says that if the 4 Varnas, like the Brahmin class, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, they support each other, then there will be a perfect harmony in the society. But then Srila Prabhupada also says here that it is not possible to do that these days. So it is impossible to actually institute the perfect Daivi Varnashrama system in this Kali Yuga, the way the things are. So then he says, chant the holy names of the Lord and distribute prasadam and engage in service to the Lord as much as you can do according to your capacity. And that is what will bring peace in the world. So I will stop here and see if there are any questions. Yes, Krishna?
As you said that mind always wants to go to complicated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then why hasn't Krishna made the bhakti complicated so the mind does go to there?
Krishna has made it very complicated. It is complicated for those who are complicated. Srila Prabhupada says Krishna bhakti is complicated for those who are complicated. It's simple for those who are simple. Yeah, it is just our way of looking at things. So then, like I said, it is, we have to engage our mind somehow or the other. Fix your mind on Krishna or on activities relating to him. If we can't directly serve him, we have to fix our mind on Krishna. We are unfortunately born with very complicated minds. Our mind doesn't like simple things. It doesn't like to follow instructions, easy instructions. But it will follow a difficult instruction. You see, because it's all convoluted. It's all in the mind. It's all round and round. Things are not very straightforward in the mind. That's why we like to do complicated things. This may be just because maybe sometimes it gives us a sense of achievement. Oh, I've done something great. You know, sometimes... Actually, I was thinking, we all sometimes think, oh, what is my project in ISKCON? How am I going to contribute to Srila Prabhupada? What am I going to do something? Am I going to do something big as a devotee? But then, the only thing that we really need to do is be able to chant attentively. If we are only able to chant 16 rounds attentively, I think that is the biggest project achieved. That is the greatest project achieved. And that is the best service you have done for your Guru Maharaj and for Prabhupada. Just chant those 16 rounds attentively. You don't need to get involved in big, big projects, and you don't need to do this, that. That is only there because the mind is so complicated. It just wouldn't simply sit and chant. But if you can do it, then that is the best thing to do. That is the only thing that we actually, you know, smartavya satatam vishnu vismartavya najatuchit sarve vidhi nishedasyor evayor eva kinkara. So all the rules and regulations are supposed to, they're subordinate to this one rule that we always have to remember Krishna and never forget him. So somehow or the other, if you can bring your mind to that, then that's perfection. That's all that is needed. Yeah? Okay. Yes, Amrit?
You know, you said that if someone's a brahmana, won't their child be a brahmana? So in the case of Jagai Madai, they were born from a brahmana.
Yes, see, that is what brings the importance of association. They were in bad association. You see, sadhu sangha. That is why the first thing that we need, if we have a little bit faith, you have to stay in the association of devotees. If you don't stay in the association of devotees, you stay in the... Because what is Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Sangat sanjayate kama. Your association will determine your desires. You see? So if you stay with devotees, you will become a devotee. But they were staying with people who were drinking and who were beating up each other and were fighting. Yeah. Then what happened to them? Even though they were from good families, they learned those bad habits. Yeah. So what is important then?
To always associate with devotees.
Yes, to always associate with devotees. Yes, Krishna?
Was Ravana also with bad association?
Ravana was not, well, he was a demon, for one thing. He was from an Asuric background. But he was a very learned man. He had learned all the Vedas. He was actually, he's known to, you know, sometimes he's depicted with 10 heads, which means he has learned all the Shastras very perfectly. But the only problem with him was that he was hostile towards the Supreme Lord. You can have, like Hiranyaka, the soul, it is the soul, the body has died, but the soul never dies. He's actually giving this kind of scriptural knowledge, you know, the science of soul. And similarly with the Ravana, the problem with him was he was a demoniac person, and he did not like the Supreme Lord. Yeah, so you can have all the knowledge in the world, but it is no good if it does not bring you to the point of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Okay. Anything else? Valentia? Yes, Chaitanya Leela?
You said that it wasn't Varanashram and Satya Yuga.
Say again?
That there wasn't Varanashram system in Satya Yuga?
In Satya Yuga, there was no need of the Varanashrama system because there were only one class of men. They were called the Hamsas. And they worshipped the Lord in the form of meditation. They were always meditating on the Hamsa avatar, on the Hamsa form of the Lord. So there was no need of any administration or anything because they were just everybody was just meditating. Meditation was the form of devotional service. And only in Treta Yuga the four varnas and ashrams manifested, and then slowly. It was perfection, it was followed imperfection during that yuga, but then as we see up to now, coming up to Kali Yuga, it has become degraded. Yeah, that's true. It's a subsidiary activity, like I meant, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, it's a supporting activity. Just to prevent you from doing the wrong thing, you are being engaged in this manner, but it is not directly bhakti, although it can support bhakti. It can create an environment conducive for your devotional life. Yes, Dhruva.
Dhruva Maharaj, he was a Kshatriya, right? So he was a king.
Yeah.
There must be four orders there as well.
What there?
Dhruva Maharaj is a king,
mm-hmm.
and he appeared in the Satya Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Satya Yuga, there must be also a Vaidashram system, that he was a king and there were other people advising him.
You see, yeah, I'm not very sure of which yuga he was in, because...
Yeah, he was definitely in the Satya Yuga.
So Satya Yuga, which part of Satya Yuga also is very long. And there is also possibility, yes, that some were acting as kings, but that does not mean that they are not pure devotees of the Lord. Because starting from Satya Yuga, they were pure devotees, and slowly the other angas had to be started, because it was the devotion became polluted. It became covered over with other things. But yes, that point needs to be clarified, that if he was in Satya Yuga, then there are also kings and kshatriyas in that yuga. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Madhu Manjari Mataji is saying that even though it existed, it wasn't the prominent. It wasn't very prominent, because it wasn't needed. Because most of the people at that time were engaged in devotional service in the form of meditation on the Lord. So it wasn't. There was no necessity to follow it very thoroughly or to great extent. But it mostly it was the meditation on the Lord which was the. Is that right, Mataji?
Well, it exists as a natural way to call organization. But
okay.
The prominent part of self-organization is meditation.
Yeah, okay.
And that everybody was engaged in that.
Mm. Okay.
This, like, this part of the Bhagavad Gita, that's natural.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So it existed, but it existed only as... like a supporting part, but majority of the people were engaged in serving the Lord in the form of meditation, meditating on the Supreme Lord. Yes, Mataji, this is from Lord Krishna himself tells this to Uddhava in Canto 11, Chapter 17. Has all the details how in Satyuga the people were meditating on the Hamsavatara of the Lord. And there was absence of all the other social orders, as mentioned. Okay, I think it's way over the time. So I'll end here. Thank you. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.